his life and soul and how he can't live without Rama and so forth. And she's going to now ask him something that eventually kills him. Kaikeya said, "Do you remember long ago when the gods enlisted you to fight a fierce battle against the demons and how I was the one who saved your... You wanted to repay me then, so two boons you promised to give." One, then he said, "I'll give you two. The time has come to ask for them. If you don't grant them..." Let's start over again. You wanted to repay me then, so two boons you promised to give. The time has come to ask for them. If you don't grant them, I cannot." She actually told him. He didn't want to give them, and she said, "Okay, don't give them. I'll just kill myself." So, and he said, "If I give them to you, I will die." So, quite a scene. "Yes, I remember well this promise. Please ask anything of me, dear. I wish that..." And then she says, "I wish that Bharat be made the king and Ram exiled for 14 years. I think the way the story goes, or at least one story, was he offered her a boon, and then she came and asked, and he said, "Double it, I'll give you two." Of course, she only needed one. He begged her not to ask this boon. He reasoned and pleaded and cried. Realizing he could not dissuade her, he fainted and fell by her side. Dasarat. Das means 10 and Ratha means chariot. And so once Dasarath, because he's a great fighter, the demigods enlisted him to fight. And it looked like 10 chariots were fighting. And they gave him the name Dasarath. It was one chariot, but it looked like 10. So 10 chariots. Dasarath was bound by his promise. His son would not become the king. When Kaikeya told Ram about his exile, the Lord gracefully accepted everything. When Ram told Sita of his departure, she begged to accompany him. "I will clear thorns from the road. My duty is to serve your every whim." When Ram would walk, thorns would go in his feet and he wouldn't take them out because his motto was, "Whoever takes shelter of my feet, I give them shelter." So he left the thorns in his feet. Hare Krishna. Yeah. You know, Bibhishan came, he wanted to take shelter, and all the vanaras, all the monkeys said, "He's from Ravana's side, don't accept him." And Ram said, "No. Whoever takes shelter of me, I give him protection. It's my solemn pledge." The citizens could not bear the grief of being separated from their Ram. So they accompanied him to the forest, but he would only take Sita and Lakshman. Bharat soon returned to Ayodhya to find all the citizens in pain. He then chastised his mother and said, "I will rule only till Rama returns again." Again, again. Pain and again. Well, if you're from Canada, again. Then it rhymes better. The scene of Bharat with his mother is very heavy. Because, anyway, we'll wait. We'll go back to it. We'll never finish the poem if I... It's so many nectarine pastimes. It's hard not to talk about them. Dasarath could not bear the fact that he put Ram in tribulation. Shortly after Ram was banished, the king died out of separation. Okay, it's time to wake up again. You were doing better a little few minutes ago. In the forest, they lived in huts amidst many a ferocious beast. Their clothes were made from the bark of trees. Roots and fruits were all they had to eat. They met a witch disguised as a maiden who wanted Ram to be her own. When she tried to attack and devour Sita, Lakshman cut off her ears and nose. She lied to her brother Ravana, the most powerful of evil kings. "I just tried to bring Sita back for you, and look what they did to me." To take revenge, she provoked him. to enact an evil scheme. Steal Sita away from Ram and make her your principal queen. He had a magical deer charm Sita, and Ram chased him on her plea. Then the deer imitated Ram's cry for help, and Sita forced Lakshman to go see. Yeah, or flee, or... You know what Sita said. You know how she got him to go? He was saying, no, it's just Marichi the deer is imitating Ram's voice, and we don't need to protect Ram. Ram's the protector of everyone. You know. And she said, no, you just want to, you want to see Ram killed, and you want to take me as your wife. And when he heard that, he's like, okay, I can't, you know, I can't take that. Ravana took her to his island Lanka and offered her pleasure of every kind. Although he tried to make her his queen, Ram was the only one on her mind. Ravana said, I give you 1 year to submit to my request. If you don't become my queen by then, I will kill you and eat your flesh. That's called true love. If you don't marry me, I'll kill you and eat you. So then the question comes, well, why didn't Ram force her to marry him, and why did he wait a year? Because he was cursed because he molested a woman against her will, and he was cursed that if you ever do this again, your head will crack in like 1,000 pieces. So he couldn't do that. Hare Krishna. Ram enlisted monkey soldiers. They searched for Sita everywhere. When Hanuman jumped to Lanka, he found her lying in great despair. Typo. In great despair. When Hanuman showed her Lord Ram's ring, tears of happiness fell down her face. Hanuman assured her that very soon Ram would come and take her from this place. Yeah, so Ram gave Hanuman a ring. He said, show this to Sita, and he'll know that you're the real thing that I sent you. Then Ravana's soldiers attacked Hanuman, and he killed them all, yet didn't tire. Ravana caught him and set his tail ablaze, but he used it to set Lanka on fire. So one time, devotee said to Prabhupada, what do I do with my anger? And Prabhupada said, oh, you have something you're not using for Krishna? So he gave this example. Hanuman's tail is on fire. Okay, use that for service. The monkeys built a bridge to Lanka by floating stones upon the sea. Ram, Lakshman, and their monkey soldiers came to kill Ravana and set Sita. Seeing this vast monkey army, Ravana's advisors told him not to fight. Give Sita back to Ram, they begged, or we shall face a horrible plight. Ravana did not listen to a word. He could not give up his sinful desire. Thinking his armies all powerful, he ordered them to attack and fire. Ghastly and bloody battles ensued, killing all of Ravana's men. At last he challenged Ram, saying, I will put your life to an end. And Ram said, yeah, right. More or less. Ram said, you are the lowest of man-eaters. You are like their stool. You know, Rama came to fight. This is Jayan Vijaya, and the second time around. So, you know, he was having fun. You know, some nasty words here, you know, before the fight. Ravana's strength seemed invincible. He put Rama's might to the test. Though Rama's body was full of arrows, he slew Ravana with a shot to the chest. Bullseye. Then Hanuman brought Sita to Ram, but his broken heart wouldn't mend. Since she had lived with another man, it was wrong to accept her back again. Weeping loudly, she assured her lord, I never granted Ravana's desire. My lord, if you do not accept me back, I will enter into fire. She walked into the fire saying, if I have ever been faithful to you. Let the fire God now... She walked into the fire saying, if I have ever been faithful to you, let the fire God now save me and prove that I was always true. Amidst the cries of the people, Ram's tearful eyes fell on her. As she walked out of the fire, and Agni declared, Sita is pure. Eyes flooded with tears, Rama said, I know Sita is my devoted wife, but this had to be proven to confirm a king's moral life. They now returned to Ayodhya. 14 years had come and gone. Bharat turned the throne over to Ram, and all rejoiced with dance and song. The gods all felt the highest bliss. Everyone was peaceful and calm, and the whole kingdom was chanting, all glories to Sita and Ram. If you didn't get that one, you're really asleep. They lived happily in Ayodhya until Ram went out in disguise to mix among the citizens and find out what was on their minds. He heard a husband chastise his wife for spending time away from home. It is not right that I take you back. I will not be immoral like King Ram. When Ram overheard this conversation, it went deep into his heart. He knew now the time had come for him to ask Sita to depart. For if a king is not respected and does not set an example for all, his life will be a failure and his kingdom will be sure to fall. That was easy. To set the proper example and maintain religious rites, Sita was banished to the forest and left alone to live her life. And then she so-called committed suicide, she went back into the earth. Hare Krishna. So this poem begins when Kaikeyi meets Dasarath and asks for two boons. And the backstory is that she had saved him in battle, and at that time he offered a boon, and she said, I was happy to save you, and I'll ask for it later. Her intention was not to ask for it later. She just didn't want to ask anything from him. She just wanted to serve him. So Mantara was her senior servant, the senior servant of Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi is the mother of Bharat. So Dasarath's co-wife. Dasarath, you know, we generally think he has three wives. He had 353 wives. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand if you knew he had 353. Only one. Wow. You need to be watching more Ramayana on TV, you know. So How many of you knew that he had 350 wives, or 353? So Parasuram was killing kings. So that was what he was doing. And so when he would come to Ayodhya, the Dasarath was afraid that he would kill him. But Parasuram had this principle, he would not kill a king who was getting married. So every time Parasuram visited, all these women lined up, and he would just call them up, you know, text them, we got to get married, like right now. So apparently Parasuram came 350 times. Yeah, and 350 queens and no son. Then they had to do a big sacrifice in order to have sons. Anyway, so... She saved him in battle. He offered her the boon. So Mantara was thinking, so there was an omen, and the omen was that something bad is going to happen. And it was right at the time when Dasarath was thinking, we need to officially make Rama the heir to the throne. Whatever you call that, we're all Americans. We don't, prince. Prince Regent, yeah. You should know that, you're from Canada. Something like, we don't have kings and princes, but yeah. So you do it officially, right? So he's going to be the next king, but the king's still alive, prince regent. And so he decided to do that, and then there was an omen that something bad is going to happen, so he thought, we have to do this right away. So it's just kind of very hastily done. And then Muntar is looking at this, and Muntar is thinking, I'm the head mistress of Kaikeya, and if Ram becomes the king, I'm going to lose out because she's going to be second. And so Mantara, she said, Kaikeyi, did you hear the news? Ram is going to be the king, not Bharat. And Kaikeyi said, I'm so happy. I love Ram like my own son. And Kaikeyi said, you foolish woman. Don't you understand what that means? You're going to become now. She was his favorite king, queen. He says, you're going to be demoted. Your son's going to be demoted, etc., etc. And she kept feeding poison into Kaikeya's ear. Kaikeya was a very, very loving wife and very affectionate to Ram. And while she was feeding this into Kaikeya's ear, the demigods were also changing her mind. Did you know that? Because she was actually sent by the demigods to change the mind of Kaikeyi, because the demigods wanted Ravana killed, and this was how it was going to happen. So Kaikeyi completely changed, like 180 degrees. Nobody could understand why and how she had become so evil, but it was actually a plan. Muntara didn't understand that. I don't think she understood she was sent to do that, but she was sent by the demigods. So the demigods were helping, and they were influencing the mind. So then Kaikeyi went into a room. In the kingdom, they have a room called the sulking room. Yeah, I don't think we should have one of those in our house. You know, your wife goes in the sulking room, you know, she's like, So he went in, and Muntara said, put on old dirty clothes, let your hair out, don't wear makeup, and just lay on the floor. And he came in, you know, like, what's wrong? What happened? You know, shock. And so she explained everything, you know, how she was distressed because her son was not going to be the king. And then she said, as you know the story, remember you gave me those boons? Yeah. Well, I want to ask now. Okay, ask. And then he said, yeah, you can ask anything. And then he went on saying how, you know, save and accept Ram, you're the most dear to me, and without Ram I couldn't live, and on like that. And then she breaks the news to him, and he's in total shock. He can't believe it. It's like, what happened? You were my favorite queen, you were so nice, and you're asking this. So there was a long conversation, because basically Dasarath was saying, if you do this, I will die, you will kill me, and you will kill my other wives, Kaushalya and Sumitra. You will kill the citizens because Ram will have to leave. You will disturb and destroy everything. And Muntara said, no matter what Dasarath says, don't budge. So she was just like this. No, this is my request. And so he was fainting, he was crying. Finally, he gets on his knees. He grabs her feet, crying piteously. He said, please don't do this. This is the worst thing possible. She said, if you don't grant me this boon, I will kill myself. So what could he do? So then he has to tell Ram, and he can't tell him. He said, I can't tell Ram this. How can I tell him this? So this is a really beautiful scene. So Kaikeya calls Ram, because Dasarath's not going to call him. Kaikeya calls Ram, and Kaikeya says, we have something to tell you. And she tells him that you're going to be exiled for 14 years. And he said, why couldn't my father tell me that? Why did you have to tell me? And she said, well, that's what he wants, and I'm just saying it for him. But he couldn't say it. He didn't have the heart to say it. And what's so interesting about this pastime is when Ram heard that, immediately said, yes, whatever you ask, Father, I will happily do it. Because he was answering his father's doubt. His father saying, how can I ask you to do this? This is horrible. This is the worst thing I could ask you. And Rama says, it doesn't matter, Father. Whatever you ask, I will do. If you had asked me to kill myself, I would have killed myself. So there's two things going on here which I think are very, very important and powerful. One is Dasarath had made a promise and he wouldn't break the promise, even though breaking that promise in his mind was the absolute worst thing he could do. But because he gave his word, no matter what the situation, no matter the consequences of it, because he gave his word, he stuck by his word. So he gives that example to us. And what's interesting is we say, we give our word many times and we don't even realize, yeah, Prabhu, I'll call you tomorrow. And we don't call. Yeah, can I borrow that? I'll give it back in 3 days, 3 years later. Oh yeah, I didn't give that back. We tend to do that. Or we make a promise and say, yeah, well, you know, that was 10 years ago, but now it's now. And Dasarath, no. I made the promise. This is the worst promise I could ever fulfill, the worst vow, but I will fulfill it. So we have this example, not only of Dasarath, but more examples come up. So now this example of Rama, when I was reading this example, I was thinking, the father is a guru. And Rama is saying, Father, whatever you ask, I will do, even kill myself if that's what you ask. And I thought, oh, what an example of a disciple. This is the example. And today Nirmala told me a story. Nirmala, are you here? Because if I have to tell the story, it's secondhand. But the story, maybe some of you know and you can help me, but the story was told in Vrindavan, I guess yesterday or day before, by Guru Kripa. So maybe some of you have heard it. But it exemplifies this, what's going on here. So Prabhupada told Guru Kripa, I need $75,000 every month to build this temple. That's, you know, 75 must have been like 300,000, 400,000 maybe, something. And at that time, Guru Kripa said, I had been collecting, and I was burned out. And he said, Prabhupada, I can't do it. I just can't do it anymore. And Prabhupada said, I spread Krishna consciousness in the West, and now, as a service to my guru, I want to build this temple, and nobody's helping me, and nobody's giving me any money, and I need this money. And Prabhupada was going on and on and on, and Guru Kripa said, finally said, okay, Prabhupada, I will do it for you. He said, wow, what an example of a disciple, right? So Rama is giving this same example. Father, whatever you ask, I will do, even if you ask me to kill myself. I will happily do it. So there was no problem there. There was no argument, nothing. And Dasarath and the people of the kingdom wanted to make arrangements for him to live in the forest, and he said, no, I'm going to live like a sadhu. I'm going to go barefoot. I'm going to eat only roots and fruits. And I'm going to wear deer skin. So apparently you get thread from deer skin or tree bark, and you can get thread from tree bark and make clothes. So they put on the clothes, and as you know, they all went out. And speaking of leadership of Ram, so they all went out. Well, all three of them went, along with their servant, what's his name? Sumantra. He took them out, and then they took rest. And then, in the middle of the night, one of them woke up and saw all the citizens had come. They were all sleeping there. And Ram said, I don't want them to come with me. Let's get up and leave. And let's leave in a way that they won't know where we are, and so they all left. So the citizens were prepared to live in the forest with Ram, like Ram, and give up all their comforts, because that would have been less painful than being in Ayodhya separated from Ram. Because when you went to Ayodhya after Ram left, it was like a ghost town. Nothing was going on. The shops were closed. The temples were dirty. The deities were unhappy. Nothing was happening. Everyone was overcome. So they'd rather go. So yes. So yeah. So now we see. We see with Ram this obedience to the desire of his father. We see with Dasarath obedience to his vow. So another important lesson, I feel it's extremely important, is how in Ramayana also, well, let's go to Bharat also because he's also similar. So Bharat was not in Ayodhya when this was going on. He didn't know what was happening. And so they had to send for him, and he had to come back. And when he came back, it's like, where's Ram? Where's my father? Why is everybody so unhappy? What's going on? And he found out. And his mother thought, he's going to be so happy when he finds out that he's going to be the king. He's going to be so happy that I did this. And it was exactly the opposite. He was so angry with her. He called her the most wicked and evil woman, etc., etc. And then he said, I reject you as my mother. I want nothing to do with you. He was so upset and angry. And he said, I will go to the forest and I will live with Ram. I will never take this kingdom without Ram. I will go there and bring him back and he can live in the forest. I mean, I can live in the forest, he'll come back. Of course, Rama wouldn't do that. And he said, well, Ram, let me take your shoes, we will put it on the throne. And Bharat did not live in the kingdom. He lived outside in the forest like a hermit. He did not want to live better than Rama. It's interesting. So he lived like Rama, and he did it as a service to Ram. So he was so loyal and committed and loving to Rama that he would never overstep his position as the servitor of Rama. So, even though it was difficult, he didn't want to do it, but Rama convinced him, yeah, this is the best thing, you should do it. So, what we're seeing here, and also with Sita, what about Sita? When Sita was banished, what did she do? What did she say? Right? She accepted it because she understood what was happening. She understood that it was not Ram, if Rama were not a king, he would not have banished her. It was only because he was a king to uphold those principles that he must set a certain example for the citizens that he banished her. Was it difficult for her to be banished? Of course. Did she accept it? Yes. So, at least to me, what I see going on here is how in traditional times, in traditional cultures, people are so dharmic that they would always do what was right over what they felt like doing, you know, which is a little different than the way it is today. We're more about doing how we feel. I know I shouldn't do that, but I feel like it. You know, that's what we battle with, isn't it? My girl wants me to do this, yeah, but I just don't feel the bhav, you know? Like, it's not my thing, you know. I'm not really into that stuff, you know. Plus, you know, authority, you know, I was never into authority. You know, we have our whole list, right? But it's symptomatic of the age that it's difficult sometimes for us to do what's right because we may not feel like it. It's just difficult. I don't have it within me. It doesn't feel good. So now you go Bhagavad Gita. Isn't that what's going on with Arjuna? Arjuna, Krishna is saying, you should fight. And Arjuna is saying, are you kidding? These are my relatives. Like, how can I do that? So Arjuna is portrayed basically as having a breakdown. It's like, I can't do that. Look at what it's doing to me. You know, my hands are drying up. My, you know, whatever the symptoms were he was experiencing, trembling and so forth. He said, I just don't see how this should be done, why it should be done. There's no way that I can do this. I don't feel like it. And although Krishna doesn't say this directly, implied in Krishna's instructions, it's not about how you feel. It's about dharma. It's about what is right. So I was thinking about this today, and in observing these stories, I was seeing how for dharmic people, they derive the greatest pleasure from doing what's dharmic. And if they don't do what's dharmic and they just do what feels good, it's not going to make them happy because it's going to be a dharmic. And if it's a dharmic, they just won't do it, even though they want to, even though it'll make them feel good materially, good for the mind or the emotion or the senses or whatever. So that's what we're seeing here. Bharat is accepting his position, Sita is accepting position, Ram is accepting his position, and Dasaratha is accepting his position. Hare Krishna. So I think that's a super valuable lesson for us, that when we think of Ram and we think of these Leelas, sometimes when we're confronted with having to do what is right and we're feeling like, I don't want to do this, it's not going to make me happy, I don't feel like it, we can think of Ram, who said, I'm willing to, Father, if you ask me to kill myself, I'm willing to do it. We can think of Guru Kripa, who was completely burned out from collecting, who went out and collected because Prabhupada asked him, basically begged and pleaded, please do this. When I don't feel like doing my sadhana, I don't think, I must do it. It's dharmic. When I'm having trouble in my marriage, what is the dharmic thing to do? Not what? Maybe it's not going to make me happy right now, but if I do the dharmic thing, ultimately it will make me happy because that's the nature of dharma. So that was one of the things that stood out in this story. It's getting late. I want to tell another story because it's so beautiful. But anyway, let me just see. So here's a beautiful story you may have heard, but I'll remind you of it. When Ram went to the ocean, he said to the ocean, you know, we got to cross over, so let us cross. And the ocean, you know, he's calling the ocean. The ocean's not coming. And he's waiting, and the ocean's not coming, and Ram gets really agitated. And the whole ocean starts boiling over. And all the aquatics are burning. And finally, the ocean comes and says, sorry, I'm late. And, okay, I will help you build a bridge and so on and so forth. And I will, and he could have just like opened the waters, you know, like in the Bible, or he could have made the water shallow. But the ocean said, why don't we do this? I'll help you and you can float rocks, because then you'll be glorified and people will understand that you're the supreme. You're not just an ordinary person if you float rocks. So they floated rocks. And what's interesting also is Hanuman, just he can jump over the river. He doesn't have to float rocks. But Krishna likes to, you know, glorify his devotees as better than him. So Ram had to walk on rocks or boulders or mountains, whatever they put in. And Hanuman could just fly over, you know. Anyway, so it was because they put Ram on the stone that it floated. So Bibhishan was sending someone from Lanka, this is I think after the battle, sending someone from Lanka to go through the ocean, and he wrote the name Ram on a leaf, and he said, well, you just carry this with you, and you'll be able to cross the ocean. And he wasn't a believer. But he did it anyway. So he walked in the ocean. All of a sudden, the ocean sunk. So now, you know, it was just like up to his knees or something, and he could walk through. And he started thinking, what's up with this ROM leaf? You know, I don't believe it. So he threw it away, and the ocean came, and he drowned. Hare Krishna. So there's a beautiful story. Just give me... Oh, yeah, this is such a nice story. I wish I had more time, but what to do? End question. I have to tell this story. This is like such a beautiful story. Would you like to hear such a beautiful story as this? I just heard this story today, this morning. I'd never heard it before. Maybe some of you know. So after Ravana was defeated, then Hanuman came to Sita. He said, Ravana has been killed. We've come to take you back. And Hanuman knew that there was all these Rakshasis, servants of Ravana, who were harassing Sita. And he said, you know, you've been harassed by all these women for so long. If you like, I can kill all of them. And Sita said, yes! No, she didn't say that. Sita said, they're just doing what Ravana asked them to do. You know, they're innocent. And then she told a story. She said, once there was a hunter, and a tiger was chasing the hunter. The hunter ran into a tree. Apparently, I guess tigers don't climb trees. And the tiger saw that there was a bear in the tree. And the tiger said, hey bear, this man in your tree is a hunter and he is our enemy. So why don't you throw him down and I will eat him and then we'll be safe. And the bear said, the joke is he could barely speak, yeah. And the bear said, he is in my home. This is not the way to receive a guest. And then the bear went to sleep. And the tiger said to the man, he said, well, the bear is asleep. Why don't you just throw him down, you know, and then I'll eat him and, you know, like, you don't have to worry about the bear ever attacking you and I won't attack you. So then the hunter pulls the bear down, throws him down, but the bear catches. And the tiger says to the bear, do you know what just happened? This man tried to, you know, send him down because I asked him, you know, to fulfill my desire and for his own interest. What are you going to do about it? And this is what the bear said. So the lesson that the bear has given is amazing. We'll tell you at next Ram Nomi what he said. It's so beautiful. A great person never takes into account the sins or inappropriate actions of even a person who has offended him. Instead, at all cost, he never returns evil for evil, knowing that good conduct is the ornament of a virtuous person. Well, you can all say, wow. I'm going to read that again. It's so beautiful. A great person never takes into account the sins or inappropriate actions of even a person who has offended him. It's a great person. Instead, at all cost, he never returns evil for evil, knowing that good conduct is the ornament of a virtuous person. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Ram. What do we do now, Pranagovinda? Questions or comments? Finally, not. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Dharma, as you described, is very connected with varna.
Yeah.
Without the training for varna, how can you expect then the dharma?
Well, I think, that's an excellent point. And I think also, I think there's dharma parvarna, and then I think there's religious, and dharma parvarna, and then general religious principles, like what we just read. But particularly, what you see amongst the kshatriyas is when they give their word, that's it. This doesn't matter. Like with Bhishma, he gave his word. And if you read Mahabharata, you'll see that situations became extremely complicated, and if Bhishma just gave up and said, okay, I'll get married, it would have solved a lot of problems. But, you know, and you're reading Mahabharata, and you're going, Bhishma, just get married, you know? You'll solve like 10 horrible problems. And he's like, no, I gave my word. So, I think that's a lesson for all of us. Yes. Hare Krishna.
I was just going to say that I was listening to Bhakti Vigyan Swami, and he was talking about Lord Ram.
This way.
He said that Lakshman got a boon for 14 years while he was in the forest to not eat or sleep for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And Urmila, his wife, back in the palace, she was following that same austerity.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. I thought that was really something I never heard.
Oh, yeah. Who did he get the boon from?
It was, I don't know. Yeah.
I'd like to get that boon myself. Because I waste so much time shopping and cooking and cleaning pots.
Yeah. I just want to share a story. There is one devotee in Jagannath Puri, and he was an actor by profession. So he was performing one play where his role was Lord Narsingadev. And so in the part of ripping Hiranyakashipu apart, he was so like engrossed in this pastime that he actually ripped his intestines. And then his last play was, he was acting as Dasarath. So with this, when Keki gave him this news of the boon, he actually fainted and died. He actually died. So much he was absorbed in these pastimes. That was the last.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. That should be a warning to all actors. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes. I want to say one other thing. When you read Ramayana, it's just full of sorrow and separation and tragedy. And it's called Kuruna Ras. It makes us feel like sorry for Ram and Sita and Lakshman. You're reading it and you're feeling, oh, that's so bad, so bad. So it's evoking this sentiment, this emotion for the Supreme Lord, and that's the purpose of it. But just so you don't cry yourself to sleep, the separation from Sita Ram is the same as the separation from Radha and Krishna. And the same ecstasies that Radha and Krishna were experiencing in separation, Sita and Ram were also experiencing. So Ram banishes Sita, but it actually increases their love and their feelings. So you don't have to cry. I mean, you can cry in ecstasy, but you don't have to cry otherwise, because it's actually nourishing their prema, that separation. So when he banishes her, it has, on many levels, it has its effect. Hare Krishna. Anything else? What's going on now? 6 o'clock, something happening? Just kirtan. I thought something else. Kirtan. Oh, okay. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Prabhupada wanted Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman in Washington, D.C. He wanted it in London. You know, he wanted it in places, you know, like, because this is how our government should follow the example of Ram Raj. So Delhi, Mumbai, London, and Washington, D.C., he asked, not just for the people, but to establish Raj Ram of sorts, at least to teach people. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tai Go Premanandi Hari Bol.